The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Adam Fields, Midnight 27 Studios owner and creator of the comic book series Prowl. You are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 294. I hope all is well with you, and thanks for checking out this episode. My guest on this episode of the PVD Cast is, he's a man that's been on multiple times in the past. As a matter of fact, most recently, he was on episode 243, which happened roughly about 1 year to the day, July of 2020, is when Mr. Stephen Hines joined me to talk about his comic Soccer Mom Killer. But Stephen's back to talk about a Kickstarter that he has going on right now for the creation of a kind of collection or graphic novel or a trade paperback, whatever you want to call it, where he's going to take all the issues of his previous project, Zombie Fabulous, and he's going to put it all together in one volume. We're going to talk about the project, the Kickstarter. Actually, the Kickstarter is fully funded, but what Stephen would like to do is he'd like to get to those few bonus levels that he has. He has some stretch goals that will really take this project and take it to the next level. So even though it's fully funded and it's going on until, I believe, August 8th, you still got a chance to jump in there and donate and support if you can. So it's going to be a fun conversation. It always is with Stephen. We're going to talk, obviously, about that Kickstarter and a few other topics. So before we do that, though, I need to remind you that you still have a little bit of time to help me out, to help the PVD Cast out, to help my side project, Matt Talk, out by voting in the Columbus Podcast Awards. The PVD Cast is nominated for an award in the Society and Culture category. Matt Talk is nominated for an award in the TV and film category, and that means that both of them are automatically thrown into the podcast of the year category as well. So if you could please help me out, go over to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations, go to Society and Culture and vote for the PVD Cast, go to TV and film, vote for Matt Talk. You can pick whichever project because you can only vote for one, but go to the podcast of the year and vote for either the PVD Cast or Matt Talk. And if you'd like to be charitable with your votes, go over to the comedy division and vote for my good friends, the Canned Air Podcast. They are nominated for that award. Once again, it's columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations to vote for the PVD Cast, Matt Talk, and even my good friends over at the Canned Air Podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do have a little bit of some news to talk about real quick. For many of you new listeners, you might not be aware of the fact that yours truly does take a couple of breaks throughout the year just to kind of recharge the batteries, if you will. And that's going to be happening next week. I am taking a week off to go to Rhode Island to visit mom and my stepdad, which I haven't seen since December of 2019 because of the pandemic and whatnot. So I'm very excited for it, but I will not be posting a new episode next week. And subsequently, the following Monday, there will not be a Facebook broadcast for the PVD Cast. So it's just 1 week, and then I'll be back to the swing of things. So just wanted to give you the FYI on that. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. As you hear me say every single week, they are the only comic book store you need to visit because they got it all. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys. They have tons and tons of back issues, posters, comic book supplies. Oh man, they just got tons of stuff. So stop by the store and check them out. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. or you could check them out online if you're not in the area. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Check them out at WG Comics, and they're very active over on the Facebook page, so definitely check them out there. But thanks again, World's Greatest Comics, for being a great sponsor of the PVD cast. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with comic book creator Stephen Hines. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with a comic book creator that has appeared multiple times on the PVD cast, but he's back to talk about a new Kickstarter campaign. Stephen Hines is joining me. Stephen, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. A little toasty outside today.
Just a little. Just a little. Muggier than Satan's taint out there.
Well, you know what they say about the weather in Ohio. If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
It'll probably snow tomorrow.
You never know.
You never know. That's the beautiful thing about Ohio.
She keeps you on your toes.
You need that at my age.
All right, well, let's talk. You are the creator of a lot of different books. Zombie Fabulous, Soccer Mom Killer, your own memoir, Rebirth Defect, and many, many others. So let's focus on Zombie Fabulous, because that is the book in which you have a new Kickstarter for. And the Kickstarter is for a graphic novel version of Zombie Fabulous. Maybe fill in the folks who have no idea what I'm talking about. They haven't heard your other appearances on this show. What is Zombie Fabulous?
Zombie Fabulous is the story of two different drag queens. There's a Cher impersonating drag queen, and there's an Aretha Franklin impersonating drag queen. And both of them, I don't want to give away too much, but both of them end up coming back as zombies. And they are torn between their desire for brains and their, of course, their innate drag queen desire to stay looking fabulous, because obviously that's important to a drag queen. And it follows them. The first two chapters, they are on their own, and then they team up for a quest at the end of the story.
Can I just ask, because I don't think I've ever asked you this, why Cher and Aretha Franklin?
Cher was because I had seen a lot of Cher impersonating drag queens.
Okay.
I knew that for some reason Cher's music is huge in the LGBTQ community. And I don't remember why I decided to, why Aretha became the other one, because I don't know if there, I'm sure there probably are some Aretha impersonating drag queens. It's probably just because I love her music.
Okay.
And I decided on her before she unfortunately passed away. And yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea on Aretha.
Oh, man, if only before she passed away, you got the opportunity to give her issue one and say, you're an inspiration to me, Aretha.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing.
If I could have even talked in her presence, you know.
Yeah, you would have gotten tongue-tied and just jibber-jabbered, and then you would look foolish.
Yeah, I would have made no sense, and she'd be looking like, who is this crazy man in front of me?
Well, let's talk about the Kickstarter. Because it is, as of the recording of this episode, it's fully funded. It's at 105%. That's got to be a huge sigh of relief on your behalf.
Oh, it's a huge weight off my back. Yeah, getting that email from Kickstarter is never going to get old.
Now, as we talked off air, you started off pretty well. The first 48 hours, you were like 80% funded, and then inevitably, as I hear it from lots of creators, you hit the lull, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you managed to come out of the lull and managed to get it funded. So even though it's funded, there's going to be a lot of perks and tiers and stretch goals that you would like to hit, correct?
Yes, yes. We have two incredibly crucial stretch goals that I want to hit. If we hit our first stretch goal, that will pay the artist to color the entire book. And we'll also, of course, your printing cost almost doubles when you go from black and white to color, and mm-hmm. so, which is why I've never put out a color comic book yet in my career, and I've been doing this for over a decade. And you just can't have a story about drag queens stay trapped in black and white. I mean, come on. Can you think of any more colorful characters in the entire universe than drag queens? And if we hit our second stretch goal, then that will add an extra 10 pages of story to the book. And so there will be an epilogue added to show readers what happened after the conclusion of the trilogy. And I really, really hope we can hit that one as well.
What can folks do to help you reach those two stretch goals real quick?
Pledging for the book. And we have a bunch of really cool add-ons. We have the new Zombie Fabulous logo sticker that Aaron redesigned the logo. And we have custom-made coffin-shaped wallets. And you can pick whether you want Zombie Cher or Zombie Aretha on your custom coffin-shaped wallet. There were only 10 of those available, and two of them have been snagged already, so there are still 8 left. And you can also get a Zombie Fabulous t-shirt with exclusive art by an artist named Daniel Salcido. He did some work with me in the past on my Valedictorian USA series. Some of the other add-ons you can pick up, if you missed my Soccer Mom Killer trilogy, you can either get those in PDF format or you can get those in hard copy. And you can also get the Soccer Mom Killer enamel pin if you missed out on that one with the Screaming Karen skull. And there's still one piece of original bonus art by fantastic artist from Chicago, Kurt Dentz. And he drew an amazing bearded drag queen for me. And that about covers the add-ons.
The one that I would like to just get a little more details, if you can give any more details, if you reach the stretch goal where you're going to add 10 more pages to the book and you have an epilogue, was that always an idea that you had while you were doing the, because let's be honest, all 3 issues of Zombie Fabulous is out, correct?
Yes.
So this is going to be the collection. You're going to have them all in one book. All right. And so you can read them all at once. Was it always in your mind to have this epilogue, or is that something that came as you were thinking about piecing this together into a graphic novel?
That was something I just came up with when I was trying to think of, you know, how can I make this a valuable purchase for someone who already bought the single issues? You know, what might they want other than it finally coming out in color? And because I know when I buy a graphic novel collection of something, whenever there's some bonus content in there, that's more than enough to make me excited about it. And I honestly have no idea what those 10 pages are going to include. I have no idea what's going to happen because when I wrote the conclusion of the trilogy, it has a kind of an ending that's open to interpretation because I didn't want it to be all sewn up because I love both movies and books and TV shows that force me to do some thinking after I put it away, you know, shut the TV off or close the book. And I still can't stop thinking about how do I interpret that? Cause that, you know, makes you more mentally involved.
Let's talk a little bit about your partner in crime, Aaron. Can you take us back? How did you meet him? How did you get hooked up with him? I should say, what was it like working with him?
Oh man, I can't remember how many years ago it's been, but his wife is a college professor and she used to be a part-time librarian because she wasn't full-time at her teaching position. And she organized a poetry reading at the library in Piqua, Ohio. I don't even remember how she got a hold of me, but I was asked to participate in it. And so I did, and I got talking to her, and she found out that I was writing a comic book. And she's like, oh, my husband's an artist. And I was like, would he be offended doing a comic book about drag queens who come back as zombies? And she's like, oh, no. And so we met up for coffee, and hit it off right away. And he's so easy to work with, and he's so fast with his art. He always meets deadlines, always open to suggestions and stuff like that. Just the nicest guy you could possibly meet. I'm just glad to be working with him because I, in the past I have worked with an artist or two who has been kind of difficult to collaborate with. And it's always seamless with Aaron.
Aaron Lindemann. I didn't actually give him proper introduction there. I apologize.
Oh, I forgot to mention his last name too. I just assume everyone knows Aaron.
he's like Cher. He has just one name.
he is, and he can turn back time.
All right. How's the feedback been for Zombie Fabulous? Because as I mentioned, the three individual issues have been out for a while. What's the feedback been with the book?
Oh, the feedback has been amazing. Just people have, it's been my bestseller until the Soccer Mom Killer kind of took its place as my bestseller at conventions, and just embraced by people in the LGBTQ community and other people who are not part of that community but who are supporters. And I only have one negative comment, and that was from one reader who didn't like the open-ended ending that I just mentioned to the trilogy. And it's like, I still really liked it, but I didn't like the ending.
Well, once again, the Kickstarter for Zombie Fabulous is up and running. When does it end, by the way? I forgot to write that down.
August 8th. Yep. Still have about 23 days left.
Okay. So still 23 days to get in your support, your sponsorship, whatever you want to call it, to this project. And hopefully we'll see it in live and living color.
Hopefully. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your other projects. We've talked about Soccer Mom Killer. We've mentioned it here and there in our chat so far. Can you maybe give a quick summary of that project?
Sure. Soccer Mom Killer is about a deranged psychopath who specializes in hunting down and murdering soccer moms. So as one person who came to my table at a convention said a while back, so he only has one name on his hit list, and it's Karen. And I was like, that's awesome, and I'm stealing it, and that's going to be my tagline.
Do you want to kind of tell the story about what the inspiration was for this book for new listeners?
It's kind of petty, but, you know, it is what it is. I used to ride a bike quite a bit for exercise, and we have a park in our town, and there's a paved walking / biking path that goes around all these different soccer fields and baseball fields. And I was pedaling along, you know, my music cranked up in my earbuds and sweating like crazy and just going full steam. And there was a soccer game going on, and this soccer mom just picked up her lawn chair and stepped up to the bike path, looked right at me as I was barreling along full bore, and just walked right in front of me with her chair to go to her car or wherever she was going, to a meeting of other Karens, who knows. I had to slam on my brakes, and I almost ate asphalt. And, oh, I was so mad, and I'm sure I called her a few things, either out loud or in my head. And the whole time I was pedaling home from the bike path, I was like, oh man, it'd be so great if someone put out a book or a movie about someone who hunted down these freaking soccer moms and took them out. And by the time I got home, I was like, oh, I'm going to write this book.
Have you met nice soccer moms, by the way? Just throwing it out there.
A few.
Okay.
As a teacher, that's my full-time gig. I've met a few who are nice.
Okay. And just want to make sure here on the PVD cast that we're not casting aspersions on all soccer moms.
Oh, definitely not all of them, but there is a reason why the stereotype exists.
Are there any plans for another SMK?
No, not at this point. Although okay. I did have someone who I've had a bunch of people say when they heard the title, they thought it was about a soccer mom who was doing the killing. And they were bummed when they found out it was soccer moms who were being killed. And I've kind of kicked around the idea of maybe someday doing a story of a soccer mom who snaps and goes on a rampage, you know, maybe killing referees or something. I don't know.
I don't know who the victim would be either. I'm trying to think. Referees, other Karens, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
Maybe scumbag men who've done them wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Ex-husbands.
Yes.
There we go. See, folks, you're hearing, this is how it works. This is how it works. You think it's very fancy and formal in the comics world of kicking around ideas. Nah. You just throw around ideas. That's it.
So you just pretty much signed on to co-write this thing with me, right?
I guess so, yeah. <That's>...
Excellent.
I know we've had a lot of talk about comics between Steven and I today, but I'm going to interrupt just for a few moments to remind you about a great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. They got it all for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, a great pull system, posters. Basically, they got it all. So what you need to do is you need to check them out. Now, if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you still can check them out online. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. But if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And if you do interact with anyone from World's Greatest, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, well, talking about writing, I mentioned it in your intro. You've written a memoir as well called Rebirth Defect. Would you like to tell the listeners what that memoir is all about?
Sure. It's all about the different philosophical changes that I've gone through in my life, from being raised in the Catholic Church and being an altar boy to when I was 13, I became an atheist just inside my, you know, didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't even think it was any more important than deciding I wanted peanut butter and jelly instead of a bologna sandwich, you know. And then when I was 18, I went through this horrible, horrible patch in my life, and I started jamming with this keyboard player who was a Christian, and I ended up getting converted, and we formed a Christian heavy metal band and did some minor touring and did some recording. And then I eventually came back to being an atheist way back in like maybe 1996, and have been a heathen ever since. And the book covers all that. And it actually turned out really funny because I didn't want it to be one of those angry militant atheist books that was trying to convert anybody who didn't agree with me or anything. I just wanted to tell my story in a funny way, and it turned out pretty good.
Did you get the audio version finished? Because I know the last time we talked, you were kind of plugging away at that.
Oh, yeah. The audiobook is on Audible. And
okay.
In fact, my cousin, who was a college professor and an opera singer, messaged me on Instagram and said that he was reading the book, but he doesn't like to read books. He said, man, I sure wish there was an audiobook of this, because his daughter had bought the paperback. And I'm like, dude, it's on Audible. And he's like, seriously? And he's like, oh, I am so on that. And like, I just don't like paper books. I'm like, hey, go for it, man.
So the audiobook's at Audible. The print version, I assume, is on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, and it's in my Etsy store, of course.
Okay, cool. So before we kind of change gears and talk about some of your other creative endeavors, any other comics that you want to highlight real quick? Because your catalog is deep, let's be honest. And I know you've kind of shook some things up a little bit. You know, last time we talked, I think, which was right around this time last year, some books are no longer in print, some are. So is there any others you want to highlight real quick?
I do have the first horror comic book that I wrote. It's called Iconoplastic. And it's a story of a rock and roll band that rises from rags to riches. And it has a really bizarre kind of surreal twist at the ending. And the artists that worked on that with me, one of them is a guy named Rafer Roberts. And at the time when I worked with him, he was just on the indie circuit with an amazing series called Plastic Farm, which you can read the whole thing for free on plasticfarm.com. You know, here I am on your podcast promoting other people's books, but it's so genius. I have to tell people about it.
Hey, you got to give respect where respect is due.
Oh, God, Rafer is a genius. And he's also written for Valiant Comics now. And he has another series called Grumble that is out, and it's fantastic. So he's in the big leagues now. You know, he's not doing the indie circuit so much anymore. But anyway, Iconoplastic was a blast to work with. And there's also a CD of unreleased demos of this fictional band that are in the comic book, and they're all songs that I wrote. And I had one of my former students sang lead vocals on it, and the CD turned out great too.
Well, and that's what I was going to kind of veer off into, because you are an avid musician. Music is very important to you in your personal life and your professional life. So how did you, can you give me your first memory of listening to something that got you very excited? Whatever that was, whenever that was.
My earliest memory of music was when I was a little toddler. And my mom had this massive record player that they had back then, because I'm ancient. You know, this is back probably 1972 or three, probably 73. And it was a huge, it had a record player on one side and a radio on the other side. And I remember standing up on my tippy toes and peeking up over the, and seeing the, that green apple on the record spinning around, and it was the Beatles, and just being mesmerized by it. And I've been total music nerd ever since, you know, just hypnotized by the Beatles and then John Lennon's solo work too.
I, you know what? I, my parents had one of those stereos too. So you weren't the only one.
They were monsters.
They were. And for folks that are listening are like, we don't know what a record is. That's what Google's for. So look that up. Okay. I'm not explaining it. But you you play a lot of different types of music, and you're a bassist, correct?
Yes, sir.
How when did you start playing bass? Was that when you were in your teenage years or a little bit earlier or later on in life?
I got my first bass when I was 16.
Okay.
And after begging for like 2 years to get one, because my brother brought home the Shout at the Devil cassette by Motley Crue from football practice, and that was the first time I ever clicked in my head what a bass guitar sounded like.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh, I got to have that. I need that in my life. And finally got one, joined a band before I even knew what the hell I was doing. And luckily had a very patient guitar player who taught me a lot, and I've been playing ever since. And this summer, ironically enough, I should have mentioned this when we were talking about the Soccer Mom Killer, but I'm a huge fan of a band called the Wild Hearts. And I'm in a Facebook group of other fans, and one of the other fans from England posted a song that he had recorded and said, hey, does anybody want to collaborate on this with me? And I was like, hell yeah, this song is awesome. I'll put a bass track on it for you. So I'll put a bass track on it. And then he messaged me and said, hey, you want to play bass on another song? I wrote a song for the Wales soccer team, and they were still in the Euro tournament at that point. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll play on it. And I played on it. And I had a friend who was a journalist who covered it. And the equipment manager for the Wales soccer team played it for them in the locker room for their last game before they got annihilated in the Euro tournament. So I hope they don't blame me, but it was still really cool that they got to hear a song that I played on. And we've been collaborating on it. So I accidentally formed a 2-man band with a guy from Wales this summer.
You know what? And that's the crazy part about technology nowadays. You know, you can talk to people clear across the world. You can collaborate with people that are in the next town over, the next state over, whatever. It blows your mind. I mean, I know I don't want to sound like an old guy, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I was joking with them when that song for the Wales soccer team kind of took off online for a while. I said, if we get offered a recording contract, my commute to band practice is going to be a bitch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I put some bass tracks on some songs by a friend of mine from Columbus, too. And he made an animated video for it. His name's Jason Pauff, P-A-U-F-F. If you look him up on YouTube, you'll find a song that I play bass on, and I programmed the drums for it. It turned out really cool. Some of the mellowest stuff I've played on in a long time, because I usually play metal mixed with punk. But it was cool to stretch my stretch my muscles and do something different for a change.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you have an EP out called the Punk Metal EP that's available through your Etsy store as well. You kind of worked on that last year during a pandemic, correct?
Yeah, and I have almost an entire full-length album done for the follow-up to that, but I'm waiting on a few singers to get back with me on doing some vocal tracks. And, of course, the coronavirus put all that on pause for a good long time, because I didn't want somebody coming into my house and bringing COVID into my house. And,
right,
you know,
right.
Now that everybody's vaccinated, and I'm like, to start re-pestering people, like, hey, you want to come over and sing for me? You're going to sing a song, right?
Me?
Yes.
No.
Can you scream?
That's not a very good scream. Never mind.
Can you do it? Can you do a good angry old man? Because I have a song called "Get Off My Lawn." I just need
yes, to I could probably do that. I could be in a crotchety old man for sure.
Yes,
I could do that. I could certainly do that. Yeah, I'll be happy to. So you don't have a tentative date for when the follow-up is coming? Because, I mean, obviously you're waiting on folks, but do you have a goal maybe like at the end of the year or the beginning of next year to have that set to go?
I would like to have it out by the end of the year, and I'll be really mad if it doesn't because I was planning on having it done, you know, way sooner than this. But, yeah, I have all the music done. I just need to pester a few singers and then do some mixing and mastering. And I was getting my CDs printed through Amazon's media on demand, and they're closing that down. So I have to find a new company to, because I'm old and I like to have a tangible copy of my music. And I found that it sells pretty well at conventions too, because people are like, oh, you have a CD and it's all professionally done and, you know, wrapped in plastic, you know, like Laura Palmer. And that was pretty tasteless. Thank you. And it's pretty cool to have a tangible product where you can open it up, look at the liner notes and read the lyrics and stuff like that.
I know you have several favorite musicians. In fact, feel free to share them. But I was going to ask you, is there any musician, say, in the last 4 or 5 years that you really dig that you're like, oh, yeah, that's somebody everybody should be familiar with?
Someone who just came out in the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you want to start maybe some of your favorites from whenever?
My all-time favorite band is the Wild Hearts. And, of course, their lead singer is incredibly prolific with his solo career, too. He usually puts out 3 albums a year. Yeah, he's definitely my all-time favorite. And I'm a huge fan of, let's see, Faith No More, King's X. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Fantastic three-man band. Anthrax. I've been on a big Anthrax kick this summer because it's their 40th birthday, and they've been putting out videos of their oral history, and I've been glued to YouTube all summer with those. We'll see who. Black Flag, a band called The Bronx, great punk band from California. The Iggy and the Stooges, Iggy Pop, Motorhead, of course. Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone who came out in the last 4 or 5 years that I can mention, but I have the memory of a goldfish.
Okay. Well, I'll let you marinate on that one. How about that?
All right.
You think about that one, and we'll start talking about some other projects that are coming up, or do you have any appearances coming up or anything along those lines?
Let's see. I am going to be at Gem City Comic Con that is coming July 24th and 25th. And then August 7th, I'm going to be at Really Cool Con. That's in Michigan. September 25th, I'm going to be at Fandemonium. It's at a library in Ohio. It's a fantastic show.
Where is Fandemonium located? What library? Is that the Pickwell Library?
No, it's up around Findlay. Oh, it's Fountain City, Ohio.
Okay. And Gem City's local. It's in the Dayton area. In fact, isn't it, if I remember correctly, at Wright State University?
It's at it's the Dayton Convention Center.
Oh, Dayton Convention Center. Okay. Totally different. Totally different set there.
I think. Oh, God. I am rusty at this being interviewed thing. This is sad. Thank God for editing. Yeah, Dayton Convention Center.
And you said ICE, was that the last one that you were mentioning?
Yo ICE, that is in Youngstown, Ohio. And it's run by an amazing dude named Carlos Rivera, who, along with being a fine police officer, he is an amazing author himself. I'm at the Small Press and Alternative Comic Book Expo space, which is usually in the spring, but this year it is going to be in November. In Columbus, Ohio.
That's correct. That's a great show. If people don't know about it, well, number one, you haven't been listening to this podcast because I talk about it frequently and talk about how great it is. But yeah, Bob Corby puts on a heck of a show. There are literally independent artists and creators from all around the world that are there. It's fantastic.
The best comic book convention I've ever gone to as a fan and as a writer. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Nothing but people who are doing it for the love of comics. And, you know, all the way down to people who hand staple their photocopied mini comics to people with, you know, really fancy glossies and hardbacks, everything in between. Great stuff.
Yeah, definitely need to check it out. Before we get to your website, social media, and your answer to the question about the musician, what advice would you give anybody that's getting into the comic book industry?
Be stubborn. Not as far as collaborating with other people, because you should be open-minded and take advice take ideas, you know, with whoever you're working with. But the stubborn part is because there are a lot of ups and downs in comics. And if you're going into it thinking you're going to make a lot of money, you're not. You know, 99.5% of people don't make a whole lot of money in comics. But you have to go into it for the love of it and be stubborn, because there are going to be conventions that you go to where, you know, tons of people come up and look at your stuff and don't walk away without buying anything, and you can't take it personally. Hard, easier said than done. And same thing with running a Kickstarter. If you use that to finance your work, you have to be stubborn and try to not let it get to you. If, you know, somebody backed your previous project, but they're not backing your current one. I'm not saying that I am good at those two things at all, but, you know, something good, because of course you always want the most people possible to read your stuff, but, you know, you just gotta be stubborn and stick with it and hang with it, whether things are going great or things are feeling like, you know, someone put both feet on the brakes and the emergency brakes on and there's cinder blocks in front of your car, but you still got to stay in the car.
Good advice. I would also say too, you know, that term stubborn can mean your vision. Somebody may not like, and I'm sure maybe you've experienced this, somebody may not like your content. Zombie drag queens, that's dumb. I'm sure you may have heard that or maybe not. But if you feel like that is the story you want to tell, be stubborn, stick to it.
Yeah. I've had people come up to my table and they pick up the comic book, and then I tell them what it's about, and they're homophobic, and they put the comic down and give me a pained, awkward smile and walk away as quickly as possible. And I'm like, all right, you know, that's not my target audience, clearly.
Yeah. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's not your cup of tea, that's not your cup of tea.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I've had, you know, a lot of people who are religious get a bad rap as if all of them are homophobic. And I had a lady come up and buy Zombie Fabulous and then proceed to tell me how, you know, she was excited about going to church the next day. You know, like, that's pretty badass. This lady, you know, is open-minded about the LGBTQ community, and she's, you know, she's spiritual. So yeah, that's cool.
All right. Have you thought of anybody? I put you on the spot with the question about, in the last 4 or 5 years, has there been a musician that you really admire that you think everybody should check out?
Oh, I can't think of anybody that's obscure in any way. So I'm drawing a complete blank.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I put you on the spot. I feel bad.
That's cool. That's cool. We can edit that out, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Look at me saying we when it's going to be you doing all the editing. Like, this interview's not coherent.
I make my guests sound very, very good, although I don't know if there's much I can do with this little diatribe that we're having here, but we'll see. All right, in all seriousness, tell folks where they can find you on social media, the web, everything else.
Okay. I don't have a regular author website, but you can look me up on Etsy.com and on Facebook, just look up Stephen Hines, Stephen with a PH. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is at Stephen Hines 67. 67 is a reference to a song by one of my favorite bands that I mentioned earlier, King's X. It is not my age yet or my IQ yet.
Shoe size?
Not quite.
Okay.
66.6.
If that if COVID lasted and quarantine lasted any longer, I'd probably gain 67 pounds.
I told my wife I didn't gain weight. My belly button got deeper.
No. Somebody said something about the quarantine 15. I go 15. Oh, I thought it was like 22. My bad.
I wish it was just 15. I had to buy bigger pants when school started back up last year.
I dread buying new clothes. That's why I'm like, I probably should try to lose some of this weight.
I'm trying, but I don't know how well I'm doing with it. I'm afraid to get on the scale.
Oh, well, I think that might be the first step to admitting you have a problem. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong thing. My bad. Never mind.
That's the other support group I give to.
All right. Once again, Stephen Hines, the Kickstarter is up until August 8th for Zombie Fabulous, getting the collection, the graphic novel, whatever you want to call it. Let's hit those stretch goals. I'd love to see your work in color. I think that would be awesome. You know, and let's get 10 more pages into the book to make it something extra special, people. If you got the opportunity, go over to Kickstarter and look for Zombie Fabulous. It is right there in their on their website, I should say, and donate if you can.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you on board.
There you go. Steven, thanks again, man. It's always fun having you on, man.
I appreciate it, man. It's always a blast being on your show.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Stephen Hines, talking about his Kickstarter for the collection of Zombie Fabulous, as well as Soccer Mom Killer, Rebirth Defect, and all of his other cool projects that he has going on. So definitely keep tabs on Stephen on social media and help out if you can. As we mentioned, the Kickstarter is fully funded, but Stephen would really like to hit some of those stretch goals, so you could still donate, you could still support. Just go over to Kickstarter, search for Zombie Fabulous, and give your support. All right, with that out of the way, it is time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me in case you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of this podcast. Just look for @PVDcast. And of course, you can always email me, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. There are several different avenues that you can use to get the PVD cast. Obviously, go over to my website, the official home of John Orlando. That, of course, is pvdcast.com, where you can snag each episode, or you can listen through any of those major podcasting platforms. All you got to do is go to your favorite one, go to the search bar, put in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put PVD cast John Orlando, and you should be able to find it. And don't forget, please rate, review, and subscribe if you listen to an episode. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And don't forget, every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yours truly presents a Facebook broadcast of this week's episode of the PVD cast. Simply just go to the Facebook page, and once again, that's @PVDcast. And on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you can catch the weekly episode, which is also simulcast through my friends over at the Three Geeks podcast and the Scene Snobs. Just go over to 3geeks.ninja to check out the broadcast and all the cool stuff they have going on. And don't forget to check out, of course, thescenesnobs.com. It's a great network with over 30 different podcasts. And they're two great individuals, two great podcasters, so please check out their stuff. All right, with that being said, one more time, I am going to be taking a week off, heading to Rhode Island, so there won't be a new episode next Thursday, but, I deserve this little bit of a break. And with that, I'm going to say thanks for checking out this episode once again, and I will chat at each and every one of you. Well, later. Stay righteous and stay independent. Been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.